About 120 feet. Running game every week. About 100 what they keep. Fantasies, Egyptian sheets. If there was only a way to test this, check this. Listen to the 40 for your next shit.
We are back. Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy 40 podcast with myself, John DeBarry, my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, Andrew Burke. Haven't even heard from him. Totally missing. But aside from that, we are previewing half of week 13. We're going to split this in half because it's a full slate of games with only two teams on the bye. And Walk is kind of going to be the conductor here because I am super confused by this new wonky COVID-induced NFL schedule. So walk us through this nightmare.
Welcome to NFL 2020. It's Armageddon. Yeah, only the strong immune systems will survive. But yeah, we only got out Thursday night football last week because life happened, Thanksgiving. So our apologies for not diving into the weekend. We were right about everything that we didn't record on during that weekend slate of terrible football. But yeah, we're going to do the early slate, late slate like we've been doing. As you mentioned, only the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Carolina Panthers are on a bye this week. Why the NFL couldn't have put him on a bye in week 12 to spare us fantasy advocates missing guys in a pivotal week 13 pre-playoff matchup is beyond me, but we have to adapt. So we're going to dive right in. We are recording on Wednesday at 12 o'clock Eastern, so we have not seen the Baltimore Ravens versus Pittsburgh Steelers game, but we're going to pontificate as if we had since they will be playing later this week. But where we're going to get started is a barn burner the NFC North.
Oh, no.
Where the, obviously, Kenny Galladay-less Detroit Lions head to Soldier Field to do battle against, I don't see why not, Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears.
Wait, begin this on a whimper. Yeah, total 44.5, which is a low total. Bears are 3-point obligatory home favorite, so nothing really exciting there to move the needle because this week is so jumbled up. It's going to take me a minute to find these projected totals, but it looks like the Bears are... Is this correct? That can't be correct. This is the Bears versus Green Bay still. See? It's all wonky.
So these, yeah, they're roughly about 20 points for those Chicago Bears.
No, yeah,
roughly 24.
20 to 21, 20.5 to 23.5, 22.5, something like that. Oh, so
this is gorgeous.
It's disgusting. No matter how you shake this up. Yeah, Trubisky's got the starting nod. The least encouraging starting nod in history. The I don't see why he won't start, which is, you know, big vote of confidence there from Nagy. Montgomery had an okay game last week. They're going to have to rely on him to keep pressure off Trubisky. Trubisky peppered Allen Robinson with some targets. He's the only person worth having now. This is a dumpster fire. It just points out how shitty Detroit is that somehow the Bears are a favorite in this game. But the Lions, good luck figuring out what they're doing this week. Matt Patricia was finally fired, so they're going to have a new coaching staff. I mean, obviously, there's only so much they can change mid-season. They do have a little extra time playing on Thursday, but this is not exciting at all. Stafford's still banged up, as he seems to have been the last several years at this point. Is Swift supposed to be back?
He better be. I get it. Concussions are tricky. He was practicing in advance of Thursday last week, so he's had 10 days since then to get cleared. I'm going to assume that he is back and starting for those Lions on Sunday.
He might be the only guy worth playing, assuming he's healthy, because, you know, who do they name interim? I didn't even see that.
Bevel.
Oh, is he? Oh, gross. So if he wants any chance of getting this job or a sniff at another job, you're assuming he's going to ride the hot hand there and try to get the best players on the field. So we could see a ton of Swift here if he's trying to, you know, marry himself to him. So other than that, though, this is Yeah, I haven't looked at the full slate of games yet. This is probably going to be the worst one.
It will not. But it's a bad start, nonetheless. But you mentioned David Montgomery. He had an all time game against those Packers. But let me explain. The Packers had 103 yards on only 11 carries. Caught another 5 balls for 40 yards and a touchdown. So, hello, David Montgomery, to fantasy relevance. And let's just stay on that for a second, because we have to talk about the Bears' schedule going in. And it's versus Lions, versus Texans, at Vikings, at Jaguars. That's one of the most fantasy-friendly finishes for a running back humanly possible. David Montgomery could carry teams to a fantasy championship if they had good players other than him the entire year, because he stunk up until now. But he is going to finish strong, and he doesn't deserve to. But we'll just move on from those Bears.
Can you repeat those four again? Who is that?
Versus Lions, versus Texans, at Vikings, at Jaguars. So
it's not likely, but they could run the table. They could end up 10-6.
Well, they finished week 17 versus Packers. So they're not going to get that one unless Aaron Rodgers doesn't play. But short of that, it is a nice setup.
9-7.
And their defenses, and having the first two at home and then going to the Vikings indoors and then going down to Duval after Christmas. It's even just the environments are ripe for Mr. Montgomery. And you mentioned that he peppered Allen Robinson. He also peppered Darnell Mooney with 9 off targets, I'm going to call them, because he was forcing passes into double and triple coverage with reckless abandon, as Mitchell Trubisky is wont to do. So who even knows? I know that Matt Nagy knows his time is coming for the Bears. So why not just have some fun with Mitchell Trubisky, because Nick Foles isn't going to save his job. So, yeah, ugly start. Start both running backs. As you said, if DeAndre Swift plays, you mentioned only Swift on the Detroit side. Obviously, Hockenson is a must start with this tight end landscape. But outside of that, I'm not going to trust anything on Detroit. I know Marvin Jones even got dinged up on Thursday night. So Matt Stafford might be with nothing. This might be a Quintez Cephas 12-target game coming down the pike, but Chicago's had down Robinson, Montgomery, and no one else either, because you don't want to get involved on that tight end roller coaster either. So let's get off of this game, because you're right, terrible start. But we're going to move to lateral. Lateral move, is that what we're going to call this one, where the fighting Baker Mayfield-led run-based Jarvis Landry is the only receiver worth a shit. Cleveland Browns head to Nissan Stadium to run headfirst into Derrick Henry 35 times in those Tennessee Titans.
The weird thing about the Browns is, the last couple of years, every year coming in, they're kind of the preseason darlings. Like, everybody's like, oh, this is the year the Browns are going to be good. And this year, it seemed like nobody gave a fuck about them. They're like, okay, we're done with the Browns here. And they are the sneakiest, most quietest 8-3 team I can ever remember.
Yeah, 100% agree. Under the radar, because they're fucking boring. And Baker Mayfield, his swag is only on commercials at this point in time. He's like keeping it off the field for the most part. They lost Beckham, so they just don't have any cachet. And everyone's still like, well, Pittsburgh's undefeated in their division. And everyone's still like, well, the Ravens are better than them. So they're an 8-3 team that are still a distant third in their own division. So I agree with you. And
it's a good year, though, to do that, because they're, letting in that 7th wild card. So 8-3, they're on the path to get it done, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they're definitely in right now. That's for sure.
So getting to this game, so Cleveland is a 5.5-point underdog in Tennessee. Total is 54, and I found a better place with the totals instead of what I was looking at. So the Browns are looking at 24 points. Tennessee is one of the highest scorers on the board, looking at 30. So there should be some fantasy points we had. You'd mentioned losing Beckham and Landry being what he is. Not a lot of sexy names on Cleveland, except for the running backs, of course, so you could roll them both out there each week with pretty much confidence that they're both going to get you plenty of points. For Tennessee, they're just all Derrick Henry all the time. I know A.J. Brown had a big game last week, returned a kick, if you get points for that too. So tend to, they both have very narrow distribution trees. You know who you want to play. Corey Davis has been fantasy relevant this year, shockingly, except for the 1 week I really needed it where he laid a goose egg. So, you know, the names in this game are where you're going to go. There's no sleepery guys that are going to emerge here. But this is actually is a more important game than you probably would have thought it was when the season started.
Huge game. And you mentioned Corey Davis. So, conversely, I'll just ask you a question. Has anyone seen Jonnu Smith?
Anyway. Isn't he hurt? Isn't that part of it?
Friends, family, authorities. Has anyone seen Jonnu Smith at this point in time? Because he has become exclusively a blocking tight end.
So I'm in week three.
It's the Corey Davis ascension has led to some Jonnu Smith all-time lows where I don't even believe he had a target last week. Playing the snaps, blocking his ass off, not seeing any targets. It's totally disappointing, and Cleveland is a get-right spot for the tight end. So if ever there was a time for Jonnu to reappear, it would be against these Browns. And you're right. I mean, is Nick Chubb versus Derrick Henry the battle of the two best pure running backs in the NFL right now? Neither of them catch passes.
I will go yes. I mean, I've been saying since he came – after his rookie year, I think just – pure running back, not all the other, you know, the blocking and pass catching. I think Nick Chubb is the best running back in the NFL, and I thought he was after his rookie year. So and it's hard to argue what Derrick Henry's done over the last couple of years, especially late in the season. So I know you'll get no disagreement from me.
Yeah, both tremendous running the football. I mean, it's just like they were meant to do it. And the Browns and the Titans are just slightly above average run defenses. You don't gash them, but they're not locked down. We're not talking about the Saints here or the Bucks or the like. So you're going to be able to run on these on respective teams. So I agree with you there. Are you starting your boy Kareem Hunt? Is he flexible here?
I think they're both. Yeah, I think you can play him every week.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously depends what you've got. You know, you're not benching Chubb and, you know, Derrick Henry.
Well, you're definitely not benching those guys, but Hunt hasn't really done a lot the last couple weeks. He was gifted a touchdown 2 weeks ago. He had a subpar game last week. I think more that they're a 6-point dog. This might play more into the Kareem Hunt script because he seems to play more in a come from behind mode when the potential to catch a pass is there for the running back. So I think this might be a sneaky Kareem Hunt game, but not a lot more there. So like I said, lateral might be going up a little bit here. Not really sure. I'm going to let you identify this game. And it is the Will Fullerless, you cheater. Houston Texans host the Indianapolis Colts at NRG Stadium.
Yeah, we're going lateral. Total of 51.5. Indy is a 3-point road favorite. So the Colts are looking at 27 and the Texans are looking at 24. Kuki Kiki TA and I like that one better. Kuki Kiki TA and could be Isaiah Calder. We could see some weird. For me personally, I need guys like that because I had them stashed at the bottom of my rosters doing nothing. So they may have a chance to pop here. For the Colts, you know, they've been targeting Pittman and good luck at running back there. I don't think this game is that great for fantasy purposes. Obviously, it's going to be a kind of big deal for Indy in the playoffs and everything, but a lot of points projected here. I don't know who is fantasy relevant that's going to get them. But other than, you know, Houston is dog shit Duke Johnson at running back. Indy is playing musical chairs at running back. If Taylor's even back, isn't he on the Rona list?
He was on the close contact list, so he's not that man.
But even if he's back, you know, they've been moving those carries around and touches with him and Hines and Wilkins, so the funny thing is the game with this high of a total and there's really nobody aside from not even quarterbacks. Do you really trust Rivers to put up a big game for you? I don't. So this is it's a very interesting game because the points are there, but good luck figuring out who's going to be the ones to score them.
Yeah, the Houston Texans lost Will Fuller, released Kenny Stills a week ago.
Whoops.
Yeah, they were a week too early on that. And you know they knew about this pending suspension. Yeah. It's not like this came out of the blue. So I don't know why you just let a Kenny Stills go like that, unless you just really hated him or he was that disgruntled by not playing. Randall Cobb is on the IR. So it's Brandon Cooks or bust here. And he should be able to make his hay in this offense, but the Colts are top six in receiving yards allowed. So they've been pretty locked down on the year.
Yeah.
Xavier Rhodes has been a revelation for this team. So losing that guy on the other side is going to make life difficult for Brandon Cooks and conversely make it difficult for Deshaun Watson. But he spreads it around. He can cobble it together. It's just his upside has been capped now with Will Fuller being lost for the season. But I think this could be a sneaky Jordan Akins game.
I was just going to bring him up. Did you see where he's going to be playing?
Well, hopefully it's not the bench because he dropped two bunny touchdowns last week that hit him in the hands both times. And Deshaun Watson blamed himself for those incomplete passes like a true team leader would. But Jordan Akins was
supposed to be their slot receiver.
I'll buy it. You know, he's a super athletic big that, yeah, I'm here for it. Let's get Jordan Akins down the stretch and
Akins week.
Win some fantasy titles. But, yeah, you're right on the Indianapolis side. I'm not touching any of the receivers. T.Y. Hilton finally caught a touchdown in garbage time when they're force-feeding him the ball. Pittman's good but not seeing volume. Zach Pascal still gets involved. If JT's back, I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor breakout game because Houston is 31st in rushing yards allowed. Whoever the primary running back is going to get these Texans. And, again, Wilkins. It's JT because Wilkins will just not get enough, and Nyheim Hines is just annoying. So if they're all playing, all bets are off. And the only one I would really want is Jonathan Taylor because I think Indy should be able to control this game pretty much. They have a better defense. They have a comparable offense. And, you know, home field advantage doesn't exist anymore. So give me those Colts to beat the Will Fuller-less Houston Texans. So let's get off that game and evaluate this next one. We have Banana Neck Mike Glennon and those Jacksonville Jaguars head to U.S. Bank Stadium to do battle with Dalvin Cook and the Minnesota Skull Vikings.
Yeah, so this is a bad start to the week. None of these games these have been exciting games. So total is 52 with the Vikings a 10-point home favorite, 9.5 some places. So looking at a total, Vikings are actually one of the highest projected teams on the board, 30.75 points, with Jacksonville down near the bottom at 21. So they're still anticipating three scores for Jacksonville. So, again, another game that on paper has a lot of fantasy potential. Do you trust the Jacksonville receivers? Good old giraffe neck back there.
I don't believe your name's Colin Johnson, apparently.
You know, I thought of that going into last week, and obviously not with zero confidence, but, you know, we say this all the time. The guys that come off the bench that play with the second team guys a little more often, it was a matchup I was actually interested by, but I didn't have, you know, it piqued my interest with zero confidence. So I wouldn't be, if you were really, really desperate, I wouldn't be opposed to plugging him in again this week. For Minnesota, you know, we say this all the time. It's a very narrow distribution tree. So you know who you're playing. Cook is obviously in play. Thielen's in play. Jefferson's in play. And that's about it. That's where their targets go. It's where the touches go. And it's where the fantasy points are. Jacksonville, I don't trust them with Glennon. I mean, obviously you're going to play Robinson, but I don't trust any of the wide receivers, especially with Glennon back there.
Yeah, I mean, that Vikings game was odd last week where they had to come from behind to beat the Carolina Panthers, and it was largely on the back of Kirk Cousins, who went 307-3 without Adam Thielen. Their run game sucked. They had 25 carries for 96 yards, mostly Dalvin Cook, who averaged 3.4 yards per carry on one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. So did not see that coming. They will get Adam Thielen back this week and should roast the Jacksonville Jaguars, but that has not – been an issue for James Robinson, who is still getting all of the work. So yeah. Issue this, Dalvin Cook is clearly a bounce back DFS chalk play here against the Jaguars. But is James Robinson chalk? He does not dud.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's obviously a super high floor guy. I don't know if he's got that, you know, Dalvin Cook-esque, you know, 180 and three scores in him. But he, I mean, I like him in a cash game. I don't like him in a GPP.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he had five of Mike Glennon's 35 targets. Or sorry, six of Mike Glennon's 35 targets. Had five for 31 receiving. I am enamored by James Robinson. I mean, it's just such a cool story, and I want to like the Jaguars. So hopefully better things are ahead. But yeah, I'm riding James Robinson for as long as humanly possible. We were talking about the beautiful slate that is the finish for Dave Montgomery. Well, listen to this one, because it's just about the opposite for our boy James Robinson. At Vikings versus Titans, at Ravens versus Bears, the last 2 weeks at Fantasy Plus. Then they finish at Colts, which is another tough matchup. But he is going to have some tough sledding against the Ravens and Bears.
The Ravens haven't been that good. Their defensive line has been getting beaten to shit with injuries. So I don't think it's as scary as it is on paper.
I agree with you. I think they'll get Calais Campbell and some other guys back. So, you know, the Ravens haven't been shut down, but they're still a top 10 run defense, and the Bears right there with them. The Titans don't really present as much more in the middle of the pack, but just not ideal for James Robinson. And they're a 10-point dog right here. I don't think the script's going to get much better versus Titans at Ravens. Yeah, they'll be double-digit dogs for both of those games as well. So hopefully he can get you four or five catches. But not much else to be seen. Adam Thielen back. Justin Jefferson's clearly establishing himself as the top pass catching rookie this season. So should be a Minnesota blowout, but the Jaguars impressed me with Mike Glennon starting against the Browns last week, where I thought they were going to get absolutely slaughtered in a low scoring affair, and they took it down to the wire. So who knows? It's a crazy year. Off of that game, let's see how John feels about this one.
Oh no.
It is the Nolens Taysom Hills head to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to do battle with the Dirty Bird Atlanta Falcons. This is a review of Taysom Hill's first start 2 weeks ago. What do we got?
Falcons are a 3-point road dog, total of 46. So Atlanta is looking at a total like
home dog.
What did I say? Road dog?
Yes.
Idiot. So Atlanta's looking at 21.5, Saints 24.5. Again, both teams looking to get in the end zone three times. My main home league, one of the better teams every year, has Kamara, and I'm so happy that this has worked out like this, because this is not good for that guy. Kamara's a low-end RB2 right now because Hill's taking those short yardage touchdowns. He's obviously not targeting him a ton. This really has fucked Alvin Kamara over. So I know 2 weeks ago he gave Mike Thomas a ton of targets. I didn't see what Thomas's targets were this past week. But I like Atlanta coming off. I like Atlanta to win this at home. I think the Saints, Hill's good enough to just get him by, but I think Atlanta's playing pretty good lately, shockingly. And then I think coming off that win against the Raiders, I like Atlanta to win this one. Again, I don't know if I love the fantasy implications here across the board, similar to a couple games this week. I think it's a lot lower scoring than it says. So give me Atlanta in the under in a game that I think is, you know, close division game. You've mentioned it. They just played each other, so they're kind of familiar with scheme and everything. There's nothing. If they're playing each other twice a year for forever, they're not, you know, nobody's throwing anything new at each other here. So give me Atlanta. I think New Orleans lays an egg here, and Atlanta does enough to get the win.
Yowzer. Yeah, Taysom Hill had 76 yards passing against
the Broncos.
He was trying to duel some guy named Kendall Hinton, but Mike Thomas had 4 for 50 of those 78 yards. So an extreme market share, albeit limited in that game. The explosion was from our boy Latavius Murray, who turned 19 carries into 124 yards and two touchdowns. Just seems to fit better with Taysom Hill as that power back rather than the, you know, the Alvin Kamara shuck and jive type who thrives in space. Well, that's not what you're getting from Taysom Hill. You're not getting dump offs. You're not getting anything in the edge. You're getting power read options where it's either you're running it up the middle or Taysom Hill's keeping it. Those are the options right now. So who knows what that's going to look like in Atlanta this week. Interesting that you took those Falcons. I know Calvin Ridley got hurt again in this game, and Julio was inactive this past
week. And the Zakal Makaiolaitis guy is out.
And there's He's that guy. You know, so, and Todd Gurley just missed last week, and Brian Hill laid an egg for everyone that trusted him in a good matchup and a blowout against the Raiders, where somehow Brian Hill still did nothing. And Ito Smith, you know, came in the second half and broke people's hearts. But yeah, I don't know what to make of this game. It's, you can't trust any pass catcher. I mean, you can start Michael Thomas and hope that they have to score points, but good luck. You can't start Jared Cook anymore. You can't start any ancillary receivers, Manny Sanders, anyone. As Alvin Kamara an RB1 with Taysom Hill at quarterback?
No, I just said he's a low end RB2.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that part. It was my question loaded here, so I circled back. I know you were espousing the virtues of him in your home league, and it's rough. He doesn't catch passes. He had one catch for -2 yards after the week prior having zero catches. So in two games with Taysom Hill, he has one catch for -2 yards in total. Drew Brees throws it to him 5 times a quarter, it seems like. So it's a tough break for Kamara owners because he was lighting the world on fire and looking to break McCaffrey's running back receptions record pre-Drew Brees injury. But alas, here we are. So it's start Latavius Murray over Alvin Kamara time for those Saints. And in Atlanta, I'm not trusting any running backs. If Ridley and Julio are active, you start them. And if they're both active, you start Matt Ryan. Outside of that, there's very little to be had. Maybe a Hayden Hurst touchdown here or there, but yeah, it's going to be determined by injury on the Atlanta side and by Taysom Hill on the New Orleans side. And I don't know if either of those things are good statements.
No, this is going to be, I think 46 is way too high.
All right, John, I hate to break it to you. That was the best game of the 1 o'clock slate.
So no,
we have 2 games left. And next, your Las Vegas got their dicks kicked in by the Falcon Raiders. Head to Murder Life Stadium to face off against still Adam Gase and the New York Jets.
I'm more disgusted because I see what the remaining game is. it's funny. Obviously, being in Vegas, I've got a lot of friends that are big Raiders fans. And I was telling them all week because I thought they were going to lose to Atlanta. And they're like, no, why? It's just a huge letdown game. It's a classic letdown spot. They had the big primetime game against the Chiefs the week before. They were expecting to win. They ended up losing. And then now they're going traveling to the East Coast for a game against an Atlanta team that's kind of got something to prove. What's his name? Raheem Morris? Is that the right name? Yeah. You know, he's trying to keep that job.
Hold on. What? Oh, for Atlanta. Okay, you went back there. Totally.
Yeah.
Yes, Raheem Morris. Yes, sir.
So that they were going into a tough spot, especially coming off that big emotion dump time the week before. I didn't think they were going to look as bad as they did, but I didn't think they had a chance. However, nothing gets you more right than going up against these dog shit Jets. Raiders 8-point road favorite, total of 47.5. So you're looking at a total of 27 for the Raiders and the Jets. Let's scroll all the way down to the bottom here. Actually, not the worst of the week, 19.5, but they don't even see 3 touchdowns, which is not a shocker at all because they are terrible. I think the Raiders get right here. I mean, nothing. I know Jacobs is a little banged up, but give me all your Raiders running backs. Give me Darren Waller. Give me Carr. I'd be very happy. Like I said, all the Raiders running backs, I'd be more than willing to play Devontae Booker a little bit here. I think the Raiders come in and beat the shit out of them. Jets, maybe get the end zone once. I mean, Crowder should see a ton of volume now that Darnold is supposed to be back there again for another week. So running back Frank Gore will see the volume, but I don't think he's going to get the production to go with it. I'm fading all the Jets here and give me the Raiders running game and Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think that was well said. The Jets are abysmal. Darnold was getting Denzel Mims involved, which I think a lot of people were concerned about, and it seemed to be at the detriment of Jamison Crowder, who was a Darnold favorite previously, but he only had 5 targets on the game, while Mims and Perriman both had 8. So I think Darnold got the memo. You better start pushing this ball downfield like Joe Flacco was and audition for other teams, because Trevor Lawrence is going to be a quarterback in 2021, and Darnold obliged. So good for, I guess, this game potentially, as they, maybe they put up a little bit of a fight against these Raiders and make them keep going. Yeah, Josh Jacobs was laying people out in that game against the Falcons, but then injured his ankle. We know the dreaded high or low ankle sprain can diminish and shelf a running back. Yeah, might even short-term IR running back. If that's the case, Devontae Booker could be a league winner. If Jacobs ends up going on the IR, he could potentially be a week winner if they sit Josh Jacobs, assuming they do not need him, and they do not, against these New York Jets. Let him put his feet up for a week. I don't like that because I love Josh Jacobs. I want to see him play every week, but this might be a business decision for John Gruden and those Raiders. So I'm with you. Start Waller. You know, you probably maybe a start Carr. Who knows? I mean, even Fitzpatrick didn't have to do that much against the Jets to beat them. So if they're not putting up a fight, their quarterback on the other team is not going to do much. You start nothing in New York at this point in time. I mean, optimism for Mims and all in the future. But if Frank Gore may be a junk touchdown, but if you're that desperate, you're not making the playoffs anyway with Frank Gore as your running back. So this is a move on game. Vegas, 1 p.m. East, though, could be a little bit of a issue for them.
I don't know if they traveled back and forth, though. If they stayed on the East Coast, it's not as big a deal.
No, would not be if that were the case. But
and it's still the Jets.
It is. The Jets are just going to be very welcoming, you know, roll out the red carpet, bend over backwards, get run all over. So I'm with you. This would be another non-interesting game, and now you know where we're going to close this early slate.
Oh, boy.
And it is with the Brandon Allen-led Stinksinati Bengals head to Hard Rock Stadium to do battle with potentially probably Ryan Fitzmagic and these Miami Dolphins.
What do we got? I believe it's officially Fitzpatrick. Total of 42 in some places, so by far the lowest scoring game. Well, 3 points, but lowest scoring game of the week. Miami is a sit tight, an 11.5-point home favorite, which is crazy because it's not like they're amazing, but they're almost like 2 touchdowns in a shit baby, which, God, I love these games. Makes me so happy. Bengals' lowest projected total on the board, only 14.25. So the line makers have them having a rough go even getting to 2 touchdowns, let alone barely peeking over, while the Dolphins are looking at 26. Fitzpatrick peppers the shit out of Devontae Parker and makes him fantasy relevant, so you can play him with confidence on the – and I like them as a matchup. If you're looking for wide receiver quarterback matchup, Fitz and Parker is a nice pair for DFS this week. Running back? I don't know. I actually was tweeting at Dolphins beat writer Armando Salguero, asking him what's happening at running back and what the plan is going forward, because Ahmed's still banged up. Gaston's banged up. They didn't really use – I haven't seen a ton of Washington or Breda usage where I'm like, okay, this is going to be the guy. So I'm not interested in what they have at running back, because they don't seem to be interested in what they have at running back. So I think Gaskin is eligible to come off of IR. So fingers crossed for me personally, he gets in there and gets the start, because you can run on the Bengals. For Cincinnati, what was the quarterback? It's Allen Brandon again?
Allen. Well, I don't know if it is again, but you know, they definitely jumped over Ryan Finley as quickly as they could when Burrow went down.
Gross. So I don't that, I mean, that's bad for this whole team. Geo is playable because there's nobody else there. But yeah, all the wide receivers take a big step back. This whole dumpster fire. Like I said, they're only looking at two touchdowns according to the odds makers. Good chance they don't even get that. So no thank you to any Bengals this week. Closing on a whimper.
Yeah. Did Armando Salgara just send you the shrug emoji when you asked him who the running back was?
I didn't get a reply. Unfollow.
Yeah. Well, Washington saw 13 carries and 5 targets in the game. So he had 18 opportunities in his first action. But you're right. I think we are supposed to be getting Ahmed back. Oh, no, not Ahmed.
Gaskin.
Gaskin. My apologies. Might get them both back, to be honest with you. So make Washington and Breda both irrelevant again. But, yeah, I'm not going to trust anyone outside of Gaskin for that offense. It's going to be an ugly, ugly game. T. Higgins still found his way to relevancy, even though Brandon Allen is terrible against those Giants last week. And what was it, to the tune of 44 yards and a touchdown? So it was buoyed on a touchdown, and hopefully you can get him there again. I'm not going to trust many outside of him. Tyler Boyd does not get the volume anymore that he requires. A.J. Green doesn't exist. You mentioned Gio Bernard, and that's sure. You want to go there? Be my guest. But you just said they're a 10-point dog, so he better be catching passes. And I don't know if Brandon Allen's capable of distributing the ball to more than his primary or secondary read. So I'm not going to assume a big Geo game in Miami. Yeah, it's Fitz, Devontae Parker, and obviously Gesicki's a low end tight end one if that's your flavor. But
this is so bad.
It's really just a shit bag of games. At 1 o'clock.
I'm actually, these are legitimate laughs of pain. Is this the shittiest group of fucking games we've done yet?
This is where terrible. We're at. I mean, so we would have to assume that the late slate is going to be a lot more appealing, but you have to stay tuned to see if that's indeed the case. We haven't done this yet, but because this is so dreadful, let's do a bold prediction just on the early slate, and it can be anything you want.
As you are well aware, I am super Mr. Pessimist, and as we've gone through this, I don't think I've ever been more excited for a group of games. I can't just wait for this. It's just going to be a pile of shit.
Get ready. The red zone is just going to be off the air.
Oh, I'm so happy.
What his name is just going to take off. Like, hey guys, check back in with me at 4 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, I literally have tears in my eyes. I'm so happy. I'm laughing at this. Oh, they're so bad. I can't wait to check our fantasy scores going into the afternoon games, and it's 12-13.
It's not going to be pretty. I'm going to say that 3 backup quarterbacks throw a pass in this game.
Oh, God.
In the 1 p.m. slate.
It's not unheard of. Let's see. Prediction. Bold prediction. You put me on the spot here. I don't know how bold it is. I'm going to say the Vikings. No, that's not bold at all. They're second highest projected team on the board. I was going to say Vikings score the most points, but they should. They're projected to do so.
That's correct, John.
Let's get crazy. Let's go. Can Cincinnati get negative points? How about Miami beats Cincinnati by 30?
Yeah, there it is. I was going to say, I think there could be two teams that get shut out in the 1 o'clock slate.
Cincinnati's
definitely one of them.
Your other one is probably gonna fuck. I'll tell you what, Jets could not score.
That would be the other one. Yeah, there's potential here. I mean, not in the rest of the slate, but there were the two I looked at. We closed with the double goose egg potential game where
perfect.
We might be looking at some unders there, even with the low totals. All right. Well, that is the 1 o'clock.
Disgusting.
Slate of death. Take us out of here. You know, let's move on to the later games.
Sorry for your loss. We are the Fantasy 40. I'm John DeBari. For my co-host, Mr. Matt Walker, missing in action, Andrew Burke. We are the Fantasy 40, and we are out of here.
Wah, wah, wah.
Perfect. Who's on the bye?
Bucks and Panthers.
How does it affect my fantasy? I don't know.
Week 13, two team bye. Why couldn't they have been on a bye a different week? It's just strange to have two teams on a bye. I'm sure there was logistics involved.
No, the NFL just is fucking stupid. It's just a mistake, mismanagement. There's no good reason for it. Mm-hmm. Well, we could do six on this week, and they're like, let's do two in week 13. Fuck those teams trying to push it into the playoffs. That's who's fucked, guys that need like Brady or Godwin or Evans.
Yeah, well, there was no one on bye last week. That's the irony of it. So the only thing it screws up is fantasy playoff push.
It's a beautiful thing.
Everyone played last week.
Did you get in the Scott Fishbowl playoffs?
No, I don't think so. I was like 500 again. I exploded this week because I had Mahomes, Watson, Tyreek Hill. So I put up like 220 points and still have Benny Snell tonight, but that wasn't the case for most of the year. I think I was like 5-6 or something like that going into this week.
How many points do I have? I have 1,600 points. Let's go to the playoffs.
Yeah, say I'm up there. I think 1,600 was getting it in.
Yeah. And then tonight still doesn't count, but let's see if we made it.
I remember I made it last year and didn't know it because it's like points or one of those things. And then I didn't set my lineup. So I had the same lineup from the week prior and I lost. I'm like, didn't think I made it.
Well, I should be in here. It says point wild cards and teams are getting in with 16 and what the fuck am I in?
Yeah, I don't truly understand.
It's 16-12.
The fishbowl.
I should be right in here. I don't know why I'm not.
World is against you, John. I've been telling you this for years.
Well, not in the final till tonight anyway. And your name's not on there either.
I didn't assume mine would be there. You seem to believe yours should.
I mean, if it's going by, I'm 7-4. I'm going to lose tonight, but I should be fucking 8-4 because I was kicking the dog shit out of my opponent and then he had Tyreek Hill. And I'm only losing by like 12 or something. So I don't think I have anybody left. Not enough to help me. But yeah, my team, my first 2 weeks, I was awful. I was like bottom 10 in scoring. And then I won like 7 straight. I've dumped another 2 in a row. So unacceptable.
I agree. Be better.
Yeah. What can you do? Dead last in Andy's thing. Beautiful.
Yeah, well, listen, I lost Kittle and CMC. So, in fact, I was even in fourth place in my own division. Speaks more to the division than a
kid. Fourth place? Jesus.
With neither of them, pretty much.
All right. Say? Ready?
Yes, sir.